Thank you both for being here. This is the case of State versus Maurice L. Briggs. Thank you for wearing your masks. And please continue to wear your masks unless you are presenting. And then we ask you to take your mask off so that we can hear and understand you. Six members of the court are present here personally today. Justice Miller Lerman is participating on WebEx.
Good morning. I'm here by WebEx. Thank you.
And with that, do we have any questions before we begin? Thank you very much, then. Good morning to you, Ms. Stensrud. You may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning. My name is Bethany Stensrud. I'm the attorney for the appellant, Mr. Briggs. May it please the court. This court has made it clear. The Fourth Amendment provides two protections we the people have from unlawful inventory searches. These two protections are one, that the search must be conducted in accordance with standardized operating procedures. And two, the inventory may not be a pretext to search for incriminating evidence. The district and appellate courts in this case have unnecessarily confused these issues. The state has conceded in this case that the Omaha police did not follow standardized operating procedures. A proper inventory search was not conducted, and that therefore this search is unconstitutional.
What was that procedure not followed?
None of the procedure was followed in this case. The officers in the case never actually conducted an inventory search. The state failed to produce what the actual inventory requirements were. It is questionable whether the actual tow or the impound, it's unclear when the impound was actually ordered. Testimony actually strongly suggests that the tow and the impound wasn't actually ordered until after the drugs were found through the search. The officers rifled through everything and didn't keep track of anything. They didn't keep track of credit cards, personal property items, cell phones.
It seemed the district court was concerned about the volume of items inside the vehicle and the difficulty of doing an inventory. There was filled to the gills or something like that. What's an officer to do in a situation where the car is very full of miscellaneous property? Are they supposed to inventory every item, or what are they supposed to do?
Well, if they're going to make the choice to inventory, they have to inventory all of the items pursuant to their standardized operating procedures, which the record is very clear that they have to inventory all of the items. If they don't want to inventory all of the items, then they need to also follow their standardized operating procedures and lock and leave the vehicle whenever it's possible. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Whenever possible, lock and leave the vehicle and only tow when necessary. In this case, the inventory was not necessary. There's no proof in this case that there was a nuisance of any kind. I understand that it was on private property, but there's no testimony, no evidence that O'Reilly came forward and asked anybody to tow this vehicle. Again, that takes us back to the tow, which very arguably wasn't even ordered until after the illegal drugs were found.
What does Nunez tell us about the obligation to follow standardized policy? Is it unconstitutional per se if the policy is followed, or does it tell us something else?
Nunez makes it very clear that following standardized operating procedures is a measure of reasonableness. But Nunez found that because the officers left off what was an otherwise proper inventory, they left off the illicit drugs and the illicit paraphernalia and instead put it on the property report, which to me seems completely constitutional in what the officers should have done. The whole purpose of an inventory is for the officer's protection from loss value. Somebody coming forward and saying, please give me my map and pipe back isn't necessarily what the inventory is for.
So what is an inventory? What's the purpose of an inventory search? And were any of those purposes accomplished in this case?
None of them.
That's two questions. Start with the first.
The U.S. Constitution and our Constitution has clearly found that an inventory can only serve three governmental interests. One, to protect the owner's valuables. Two, to protect police from false claims of theft or damage. And three, to protect police from danger. So in this case, the state can't both argue that the inventory was necessary to protect them from lost valuables and that there were no valuables in the vehicle.
Well, how do you know there's no valuables? Sure.
Again, if they choose to inventory the vehicle, they have to inventory all of the items in the vehicle.
So I'm sure that there's no issues of theft or lost property.
Right.
So if there's items in the vehicle have no value and they're not worried about if they got stolen, do they have to list that on an inventory? Let's say there's 10 empty bottles of water.
Right.
And they're not worried about if those 10 empty bottles of water show up missing later. Do they have to list that on the inventory? Is the purpose to protect them or to protect the property?
The purpose of, like I just said, the purpose is to protect both. If they're going to inventory the vehicle, according to their standardized operating procedures, yes, they have to inventory all 10 empty water bottles. That is what the standardized operating procedure says. It has no discretion between items of value and items of non-value. They have to inventory everything.
What do we know about OPD's standard operating procedures in this case?
Honestly, the only thing this court knows is what the defense actually provided through cross-examination, and that all items must be inventoried, that the vehicle should only be towed when necessary and should always be locked when possible.
Has anyone found a copy of the Omaha Police Department's inventory regulations?
I know exactly where they are, but it is the state's burden to provide the courts with.
It's not in order.
It is not in your records because the state did not provide that to the court.
Looks from the Bill of Exceptions like the questions on cross-examination were coming directly from a written document. Is that fair?
Yes.
So you had the written document at the time of trial?
Yes.
But it wasn't offered?
No, that is not my burden to prove that the search was, that it's not my burden to prove what the standardized operating procedures are. And it wasn't my burden to prove that they were done in compliance with that procedure.
We've been very clear that it is the state's burden to prove standardized operating procedures if they intend to rely on the inventory search exception.
Right.
So was the use of the inventory standards, if in fact that's what was used, part of your attorney work product, your script for examining a witness?
Our office has gotten a copy of the standardized operating procedures. It is pretty old. We have gotten some resistance when we tried to subpoena a new copy of their standardized operating procedures. Well, and then if that is the case, the U.S. Supreme Court is very clear that if there is no standardized operating procedures, then no inventory search can be conducted.
So,
but did we say in Garcia that proof, if the state were to carry its burden, the proof of a standard operating procedure could be done through testimony?
That's
had
true.
Had it been done, is that right?
That's true. They could have done that, but I would emphasize that they could have done that. They did not do that. In this case, I went through, if that answers your question.
Is it
clear, yes, thank you.
Is it clear from our record that OPD's standardized procedure was designed to produce an inventory?
That's a good question. I think the state failed to meet their burden of what the standardized operating procedures were. I think the cross-examination that the defense provided proves that without a shadow of a doubt, what procedures are in place were not followed.
Do you understand the district court to have made a factual finding about whether the search was, the inventory search was a pretext for a generalized search for evidence?
I understand that they made a factual finding, but they made that factual finding based on incorrect law, and therefore this court should be reviewing, if they choose to review pretext, which I stand on that there's no need to review pretext in this case. But if we do review pretext, it does, this court does so under a de novo standard because the office, because Judge Battalion found that the officer's intent was irrelevant.
Where in his order do we find the error of law?
In my petition for further review, I do cite to his Judge Battalion's order that says, no matter what the officer's motives were, once the defendant was arrested, the officers had a legitimate right to impound the vehicle, which is page 36 of the transcript. He is suggesting there, which is what I think he, I'm assuming he thought in pretextual issues for reasonableness to stop a vehicle, pretext doesn't matter, but this is an inventory. It's a wholly different set of law.
So did he make a factual finding about whether this was pretextual, not for a stop, but for whether the inventory search was pretext for a generalized search for evidence?
Yes, but he did so applying the wrong law, which is why this court reviews it de novo.
You understand his analysis of pretext to not depend on the officer's subjective intentions.
Right. For the reasons stated in our briefs and the reasons stated today, we ask that you reverse the decisions by the district and appellate courts in this case and find that the search violated Mr. Briggs' Fourth Amendment rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning again.
May it please the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. We're here on the appellant's petition for further review on the Court of Appeals decision affirming the judgment. For reasons I'll explain here in a minute in more detail, we think the Court of Appeals reached the correct result, so we ask you to affirm their opinion. I think this boils down to, and what the position I took in my brief was, that we have a failure to follow standardized procedures, but under the relevant law, that is not unconstitutional per se. It really comes down to whether the investigatory motive, whether that was the sole motive for the search, whether there was a pretext, essentially. That, I think, is reviewed for clear error, also under the relevant law. In this case, I'm referring mainly to Eighth Circuit cases. They seem to have a plethora of them addressing these types of issues. And that's reviewed for clear error.
Did Judge Battalion make a factual finding on pretext?
I think so. Not necessarily in those terms, though. What happened was the district court basically, let me grab the exact language here. Thought I had it. Well, in any event, the district court, I think, was mistaken in talking about subjective intent not mattering. But for purposes of fact finding, he credited the officer's testimony. In particular, their testimony about why they did not inventory. Specifically, that following that statement that opposing counsel emphasized, Judge Battalion says, according to the police officers, the car was filled to the gills and there's nothing of value in the vehicle. The officers go through a car that was filled to the gills and make an inventory of each of the various items in the car would be a waste of time of the officers. As such, the officers basically decided that it would impound the car as is, and any accusation by the defendant as to property missing would be meaningless. as the officers considered all the property basically junk. I think that's a finding of crediting, a fact finding that the officers were credible, that their reasons for doing so, for not inventorying, were valid, or at least what they said they were. And that, I think, is a fact finding of no pretext, although it's not called that.
How did the comment, and correct me because I'm not quite sure how this came into the record, but the comment, there you go, the felony you were waiting for, inform a proper decision, if at all?
Well, I that came in basically through the body cam and the cruiser video, and that occurred, I think, after they found the drugs. The sergeant had arrived on the scene and basically said to Officer Ashide or Ashide, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but hey, there you go, that's the felony that you're looking for, something to that effect. I think it would inform the pretext analysis. It's a fact that could be considered by the district court. But like I said, I think the district court credited the officer's testimony and so found essentially no pretext. And based on the record, we submit that there's no clear error in its doing so, and that basically that resolves the case.
Under the OPD standardized procedure, do the police officers have discretion to decide what is and what isn't valuable?
No.
And if they do, would that be a proper standardized procedure?
Well, there is some. Okay, the first answer is no, I don't think they had that discretion. The Court of Appeals opinion, I think, did not, or they missed, I guess, the recross examination where the defense counsel clarified that there is no discretion as to value, that everything needs to be recorded regardless of value. Court of Appeals missed that in their opinion. If there had been discretion, I think that might be an issue. There is some level of discretion allowed under standardized police procedures, but because it was not that discretion, I don't think it's an issue.
What about the proof of the standardized procedures? Let's take you back to that. What is the state's position on whether the prosecution met its burden of proving up what the OPD's standard procedures were?
Well, I think the burden was met because the evidence is there, whether that's through the prosecutor, through the defense attorney. The record is clear that there were standardized procedures. They were supposed to inventory all the items regardless of value, and they did not do that.
In Nunez, there were only two or three items left off the inventory sheet. Here we have no inventory made at all.
Correct.
And it's clear from the record that there were lots and lots and lots of items in the vehicle. How do you get from Nunez to here?
Well, I agree with you. Nunez is a completely different situation. Judge Castle emphasized, I think, in that opinion, not only was it just a couple items, but they were items that were contraband that they left off the inventory report. Here, we have no inventory at all, which obviously did not follow the procedure. But I think it still comes back to the district court viewing the witnesses, crediting the explanation of the officers as to why they did that. It wasn't a nefarious investigatory reason. It wasn't pretext. It was they screwed up. They're wrong. Incompetence, I guess, if you want to call it that. But because the district court essentially found no pretext, I don't think that it's an unconstitutional search under the law.
I don't mean to be rude, but I'm having a hard time understanding how we could determine that this search was intended to result in an inventory. Point me to the evidence in the record that supports that.
Well, I don't necessarily say that it was. It was, I mean, sure, they discussed inventory search before they did it. There was, after the arrest, there was some back and forth between the officers about search incident to arrest versus inventory. But the standardized procedures were designed to produce an inventory. It's just that they didn't follow them. But the law, I think, as I understand it, says, okay, that if you follow the procedures, that's per se reasonable. The failure to follow, however, is not the opposite. The failure is not per se unconstitutional. So there you look at a factual determination of, was this a pretext? Was this solely investigatory? And I don't think it was, based on the district court's order.
What are the facts that show that it was not solely?
Well, I think it's largely the officer's testimony as to why they did what they did, combined with, I think, what the Court of Appeals emphasized on their end, the discussion of inventory versus search incident to arrest.
What particular testimony of the officers suggests that?
the testimony about, well, why didn't you actually produce an inventory? And their testimony was, well, because it was filled to the brim with items that we didn't think were of any value. We didn't see any harm. And, you know, if they disappeared later, whatever, that would be the testimony that I think that it's not, they weren't in an investigatory motive. It was just, they didn't see the need to follow the procedure.
The statement early on asking for permission to search the vehicle and having it being denied, then finding there's a warrant saying, all right, now we get a search pursuant to arrest. And the officer says, no, it's by an inventory search. Does that have any bearing on the pretext issue?
Yes. Those are all factors. I think the Roland case from the Eighth Circuit is pretty darn close to the situation we have here. You don't often find one that close in the Fourth Amendment. So fact specific, but several of those factors were present here. It's something certainly that is relevant to the inquiry, whether there was pretext. And it's just a decision of whether the district court's decision was clearly erroneous. And as I said before, I think when they viewed the witnesses and the testimony and credited the officers, we don't necessarily have clear error here.
If the district court's order has some statements that suggest subjective intent doesn't matter in the analysis, some analysis that maybe implicitly considers subjective intent, how should we reconcile that on the pretext?
Sure. Well, I don't necessarily think you have to, because what is, in my opinion, clear from the order is that the district court credited the officer's explanation. So whether he was sidetracked by, you know, subjective intent mattering for purpose of the impoundment or not, the fact finding of no pretext, I think, is there. And so you take that fact finding on appeal now and determine whether it was clearly erroneous.
Is there any evidence on our record that the purposes of an inventory search were accomplished in this case? Any evidence at all?
Well, I suppose the third, you know, general purpose of about safety of the officers, you know, they, as Your Honor pointed out, you have to look through the stuff to figure out if there's anything of value or anything dangerous. Obviously, nothing was of danger in the search. So I suppose that purpose would be satisfied. But as far as the two others about protecting the officer from claims, that would not have been satisfied, nor would the protection of the property for the defendant. Unless this court has further questions, we'd ask you to affirm based on the district court's fact finding not being clearly erroneous. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No.
There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments on this particular case. Counsel, you are excused. Please leave by the side door, if you would.